Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, first class, 31 August, 2025, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right. If you suffer through football, beginning of the year, football is really ugly. Washington State beat that powerhouse Idaho by a field goal at the end. It was the ugliest game I've ever seen. And then our first game, UNLV, Idaho State almost beat UNLV. It was like losing to Howard back in 2017. We were a 55-point favorite against Howard, and we lost. We couldn't have beat Howard's wife. That wasn't bad. So we barely beat Idaho State for the first game, and then Sam Houston State, we looked a little better on that one. Next week, UCLA comes into town. The good thing about UCLA this week, they got clobbered by Utah. And that's what I was telling Deb. I hope Utah beats the crap out of UCLA. Breaks their legs. I want to see them on crutches walking around. Then we'll bring them in here and play here at UNLV. The beginning of the year, football is not very good to watch. I love watching great football, but it hasn't been too much to watch so far. Well, we are in absolutely one of the great passages. Romans chapter 8 is a phenomenal chapter. We studied already in Romans 8, 19 to 27. We studied the illustrations of undeserved suffering for blessing. Undeserved suffering. We saw that taught and illustrated by three groans. The groan of nature in Romans 8, 19 to 22. The groan of the spiritually mature believer, Romans 8, 23 to 25. And the groan of the Holy Spirit offering intercessory prayer for that winner believer, spiritually mature believer, who is going through intense, undeserved suffering. That was fantastic. Now we come to Romans 8:28, and the principle that all things work together for good. Now, I've heard unbelievers say that. And all things don't work together for good for the unbeliever. I've heard carnal reversionistic believers say that. And all things do not work together for good for the carnal reversionistic believer. The carnal reversionistic believer is making bad decisions in their life. They're out of fellowship with God. They're living by the lust patterns of their sin nature. They're living in Satan's cosmic system. And they're simply going from divine discipline, punitive suffering, warning discipline, intensive discipline, and dying discipline. And that is not all things working together for good. No, that principle here is defined. All things work together for good for those who love God. And when you love God, God is number one in your spiritual priorities. Number one in your priorities is God and the Word of God. And when you don't love God, everything else is more important than God. The winner believer, the spiritually mature believer, loves God. That's his number one spiritual priority, his love for God. That's what we have here. All things work together for good for those who love God. And if you're going to love God, you have to know God. When you know God, you will love God. So we have this great verse, Romans 8:28. And it starts out, and we know that. Well, some believers know that, and some believers don't. This is the post-positive conjunction de plus oida with the conjunction ha ti. The post-positive conjunction de is the emphatic or the intensive use of de. Paul is saying we are dealing with a very important point of doctrine. And so this is the intensive use of de, the emphatic use of de. And it should be correctly translated, in fact. And then we have the verb oida, which is the frozen form. We've had that many times in our study here. Oida says, it's a perfect use as a present. Oida says, you have learned the word of God in the past, with the result that you know the Word of God now in the present. Oida is putting the spotlight on the spiritually mature believer who has the maximum amount of the Word of God in his heart. And after verbs of decendi, and oida is a classic example of that, to know, hati introduces an object clause. It introduces what the spiritually mature believer knows. And therefore, it's correctly translated that. In fact, we, spiritually mature believers, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. All right. We have the articular present active participle of agapao plus the accusative singular of theos with the definite article plus the nominative plural neuter of pos plus the present active indicative of soon ergao plus the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative singular of agathos. We start out with, and we know all about agapao with our study in 1 John. This is the Apostle John's favorite verb, agapao, A-G-A-P-A long O, uses all throughout 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, agapao. So we ought to be all tuned in on this. So point one, agapao is the verb for virtue love. The verb for virtue love. Especially when the direct object is theos, which is what we have, that's God. So point two, the object of agapao in our verse is God. Loving God. Three, agapao refers specifically to the virtue love of the spiritually mature believer. The spiritually mature believer, the winner believer, loves God. The winner believer, God is his number one priority. Number one in his life is God and the Word of God. Nothing is more important than God and the Word of God. Four, it refers to, in our passage, since God is the object, it refers to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is personal love for God the Father and personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, which is occupation with Christ. So it refers to personal love for God the Father and personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, which is occupation with Christ. Five. Now this is an articular participle, and you know now if I say articular participle, it's what? Substantival. Very good. I knew you knew that. Substantival participle, and that means it functions as a noun. And therefore, it is correctly translated, the ones who love God. Those who love God. The ones who love God, those who love God. That's how you translate the articular participle. So point six, a principle. To love God, you have to know God. To love God, you have to know God. And that means you have to know who and what God is. That means you have to know the essence of God. You have to know the attributes of God. When you know the essence of God, the attributes of God in detail, when you understand the sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, immutability, veracity, when you know those attributes in detail, understand it completely from the Word of God, then you love God. Then that's the believer who loves God. So to love God, you have to know God. You have to know the essence of God, the attributes of God, the plan of God, the will of God. And you know that from the Word of God, then you will love God. Seven, only the spiritually mature believer loves God. The carnal reversionistic believer, the baby believer, the adolescent believer, they love everything else but God. Everything else is more important. They love all kinds of things, but that their love for God is not there. They don't have love for God as their number one priority of their life. So only the spiritually mature believer loves God. Eight, only the spiritually mature believer has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, this unique spiritual life of the church age. The spiritual life, it's a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power, divine power to execute it. It demands the power of the filling of the Spirit. It demands the teaching ministry of the Spirit and grace perspicacity, getting maximum metabolized doctrine into your heart, and then you will fulfill and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So only the spiritually mature believer has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. 9, only the spiritually mature believer has personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue to have impersonal love for all mankind, and only the spiritually mature believer has occupation with Jesus Christ. He loves the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's a mandate for all of us. So 10, only the spiritually mature believer knows God. Only the spiritually mature believer knows God. And then we have the adjective pos, but normally pos is used as an adjective, not here. Here it's used as a noun. But pos as an adjective means each or every or all, but in our verse it's used as a noun, and it's correctly translated all things, everything. That's very important. All things work together for good for those who love God. All things. So the principle, all things, refers specifically to all the greater grace blessings of the spiritually mature believer. And we studied those in great detail in 3 John. Gaius, one of the greatest believers in the ancient world. Gaius was a winner believer. And he had the entire greater grace blessing package. And that, all that greater grace blessing package of the winner believer, that's the all things. All things refers specifically to all greater grace blessings of the spiritually mature believer. That means all spiritual blessings. That means all temporal blessings. That means all undeserved suffering for blessing. That means all personal impact that the invisible hero has through blessing by association to everyone in his periphery. That includes all national impact of the invisible hero. That includes all international impact of the invisible hero. That includes all angelic impact of the invisible hero. That includes all heritage impact of the invisible hero. Blessing by association to the next generation. And it includes all dying grace blessing. And there's two parts of our lives. There's the living phase of our life and the dying phase of our life. And the spiritually mature, the winner believer, glorifies God in the living phase of his life, and he glorifies God in the dying phase of his life. And everything through that dying phase of your life, all things work together for good for that winner believer. All things. This is what we have here. This is a very, very powerful passage, and most believers don't have a clue as to what it's even talking about. And then we have the verb soon ergo. S-U-N-E-R-G-E, long O. Soon ergo. All right, a couple of things on this verb. First of all, it means to work together with, to work together with, or to cooperate with, or to help. To work together with, to cooperate with, to help. Point 2, in our verse, Romans 8:28, soonergeo has the idea to obtain something, to work together to obtain something, to bring something about. to work together to obtain something or to bring something about. Three, for the spiritually mature believer, all things work together to bring about agathos. All things work together to bring about agathos. A-G-A-T-H-O-S. And that's the word for intrinsic goodness. Something that is intrinsically good. So point four, agathos is good of intrinsic value. For the spiritually mature believer, all things work together to bring about agathos. And agathos is good of intrinsic value. Five. The preposition ace denotes purpose. Preposition ace, you know, it looks like that in the Greek and in the English. So the preposition ace denotes purpose and is correctly translated for the purpose of good, for the purpose of greater grace blessings in time. For the purpose of greater grace blessings for eternity. So, our verse says, in fact, we spiritually mature believers, we know that to the ones who love God, personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Christ, spiritually mature believers only, all things work together for the purpose of good. Got that? Got to get this. In fact, we, spiritually mature believers, we know that to the ones who love God, and when you love God, you fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life of the church age. Virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father and personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ. For in fact, we, spiritually mature believers, know that to the ones who love God, all things work together for the purpose of good. One. From physical birth to the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture, mankind has three hopes. From physical birth to the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture, mankind has three hopes. Point two, the first hope is salvation. The first hope is salvation. And that becomes a reality when you believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Point three. The second hope is greater grace blessings in time. The second hope is greater grace blessings in time, which become a reality when you attain spiritual maturity. Which becomes a reality when you attain spiritual maturity. And point four, the third hope is greater grace blessings in eternity, which becomes a reality after the rapture at the judgment seat of Christ. The third hope is greater grace blessings in eternity, which becomes a reality after the rapture at the judgment seat of Christ. So we have this verse, and I always have loved this verse, Romans 8:28. In fact, we, spiritually mature believers, we know that to the ones who love God, all things work together for the purpose of good. All things. And then we continue on. To them who are called according to His purpose. This is the articular, once again, present active participle of the to-be verb, eimi, plus the dative plural of the adjective kletos, plus the prepositional phrase kata, plus the accusative singular of prothesis. Now, again, articular participle is used as a substantival participle, and therefore the verb eimi as an articular participle should be translated to the ones who are, to the ones who are, or to those who are. So, one, in our context, these are spiritually mature believers only, in our context. Two, while all believers are kletos, while all believers are elected or called to privilege, in our passage, the spotlight is on the spiritually mature believer only. So while all believers are kletos, elected or called to privilege, in Romans 8:28, the spotlight is on the spiritually mature believer only. Three, kletos means called to privilege. It is used specifically for the doctrine of election. And then we have the preposition kata plus the accusative. Kata plus the accusative. K-A-T-A. Kata. Now, kata plus the accusative means according to a norm or standard of something. But Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 408, says that in our verse, Romans 8:28, the norm is at the same time the reason. So in our verse, the norm is at the same time the reason. So that in accordance with and because of are merged together. In accordance with and because of are merged together. And then we have prothesis. Prothesis, P-R-O-T-H-E-S-I-S. Prothesis. One, prothesis means plan. It means purpose. It means resolve. It means will. Plan, purpose, resolve, will. Prothesis. Two, prothesis is used of the divine purpose. The divine purpose. And therefore, three, prothesis refers to both the predetermined plan and purpose of God. Prothesis refers to both the predetermined plan and purpose of God. We have that in our verse, but we have another verse. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, which includes a destiny, having been predestined according to His prothesis. There's our very word we have. Predestined according to His prothesis, His predetermined plan and purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. Ephesians 1, verse 11. So our corrected translation. In fact, we, spiritually mature believers, we know that to the ones who love God, all things work together for the purpose of God. To the ones who are called, elected to privilege, according to and because of the predetermined plan and purpose of God. All right? You got that? Give it one more time. In fact, we, spiritually mature believers, we know that to the ones who love God, all things work together for the purpose of good. To the ones who are called, elected to privilege, according to and because of the predetermined plan and purpose of God. Now that brings us to Romans 8, 29 and 30. In Romans 8, 29 and 30, we have the five steps to glory. Five steps to glory. Step 1, foreknowledge, verse 29. Step 2, predestination, verse 29. Step 3, election to privilege, verse 30. Step 4, justification, verse 30. Step 5, glorification, verse 30. The five steps to glory, Romans 8, 29 to 30. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on the absolute uniqueness of the living and true God. The absolute uniqueness of the living and true God. In verse 28, to love God, you have to know God. You have to know the absolute uniqueness of the living and true God, to love God. Paul is putting the spotlight on God's divine essence. Divine essence. God is one in essence and three in personality. The Hebrew word for God is Elohim. Looks like that in the Hebrew. That's Aleph. E-L-O-H. Long I-M. Elohim. And see that eem ending right there? That's the plural ending. That's a plural ending. And it recognizes the fact that the living and true God is one in essence, but He's three in personality. There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the three persons of the Godhead have the exact same unique essence. They all three are sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, immutability, veracity. Therefore, to love God, you have to know God. You have to know His unique essence. And the first part of that essence is God is sovereignty. God is sovereignty. So let's explore that. One, sovereignty means that God is the supreme ruler of the universe. Sovereignty means that God is the supreme ruler of the universe. Turn over to Psalm 83. Psalm 83. Psalm 83, verse 18. Let them know that you, whose name is, and the word there is the tetragrammaton, YHWH, the holiest name for God in the Old Testament scriptures. So holy, no Orthodox Jew would ever pronounce that, which would be pronounced Yahweh. No, they looked at that and read Adonai. Let them know that you, whose name is Jehovah, the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth. You alone are the Most High over all the earth. Then turn over to 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. First Samuel 2, starting at verse 6. 1 Samuel 2, verse 6. The Lord brings death, and He makes alive. He brings down to the grave, and He raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and He exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them He has set the world. So sovereignty means that God is the supreme ruler of the universe. Point two, sovereignty means that there is only one God. Only one God. There is only one Lord over all. Only one God. Only one Lord over all. Turn over to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Sovereignty means there is only one God. There is only one Lord over all. Isaiah 45, starting at verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no other. And apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me. So that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men will know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Isaiah 45, 5 and 6. So sovereignty means there is only one God, and there is only one Lord over all. Isaiah 45, 5 and 6. 3. Sovereignty means that God has absolute authority. Absolute authority. Turn over to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. Sovereignty means that God has absolute authority. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name, your essence. And then turn over to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 20. Second Chronicles 20, verse 6. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. So sovereignty means that God has absolute authority. Well, there's a lot more to the sovereignty of God. If you're going to love God, you have to know God. The uniqueness of God. The uniqueness of the essence of God. And some of you have memorized or run through 10 attributes, and you run through it real fast, but you don't know what those stand for and what they mean. But when you know exactly and completely what each one of those attributes stand for and mean, now you know God. And now you love God. You have to know God to love God. All right, we'll take a break and take it up at this point next time. About 15 minutes.